You may be seated. I was just getting warmed up with the men's conference. That was my introduction to what I'm planning on preaching here for hours upon hours. I actually do 100% believe what I preach. And so just to make it seem a little bit better that I didn't just hog all the time, what I did on the last night, I guess it was, it was the last night I preached. And then we had some individuals come up and pray for people in impartation. And so I had Greg French who come up here who has so much scripture in him, untold amount of power with that word. So do I, matter of fact. And so I said, I want a piece of that myself. And so he laid his hands on me and imparted to me whatever's inside of him. And so that's why I preached the second hour. Because I believe what I preach. And I believe that when he touched me, I felt an impartation of whatever it was that such as I have, give I thee. And so, give me a break. I am going to preach a whole nother hour if I got a whole nother big load of whatever Greg French has been packing around for years. And I'll take that every single time. Amen. But it was an awesome time. My voice isn't the greatest right now, so let's just stand. And I want to get into the preaching, 1 Samuel, the first chapter. I thank God for the men's conference bringing me up here and paying my way up here and giving me a reason to come up here. And I told my brother that that's not the reason I'm here. Brother Playl, the District of Alaska, thank you for paying my ticket. But that's not the reason I'm here. I know for a fact the reason I'm here is right now, Tuesday night, Thursday night, and Sunday. And so I was holding back in men's conference. And so I've got something I believe that I want to give you. And I think you have a knowledge just because of what you've been speaking into the microphone that I've been hearing, what you've given me. So this is your fault. Because I believe what you spoke into the microphone directly at Greg Glover and the church in Spokane. You should have done that. If you want a short sermon, should have done that. I believe that there's an explosion coming because of you. That's why I believe it's because of you. I'm up here because of what you were saying. You can't speak that kind of stuff in a prophetic realm and it not come back to you. What in the world are you thinking? 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse number 26. Hannah giving her son Samuel to the church, speaking to the priest Eli, she said, "O my Lord, as thy soul liveth, my Lord, I am the woman that stood by thee here praying unto the Lord." And to that I want to say, really, you're that woman. 3 years later or so, holding a weaned prophet that you brought to give to God after receiving your miracle, and you're the same woman. I kind of beg to differ. Yeah, I'm the same woman. That's kind of like saying, I'm the same man that shouldn't be running with a trick hip. But God's done a miracle in my life, but I'm the same person who stood before you 3 years ago. I doubt that. I want to preach it about spiritual momentum. And I want you to go ahead and take your seat. Yeah, spiritual movementum. This woman kicked something off. So many things. That, if we had time, we could go through the amount of stuff that she introduces to the world for a very, very specific reason. And the reason was God was working. God was working. That's why we have everything that follows in this book. What's the name of this book? Yeah, they didn't have that back in those days. No, they had five books of the Bible. No, nothing else. What is Hannah getting ready to kick off here? I think it's pretty amazing the book we turn to. That might be something right there. Two books the world would not have if God wasn't doing a work. What work's God doing? Nothing. Nothing. You know, when God shuts your womb, you can try whatever you want to try. Nothing's going to happen. And if you don't know that, then you're going to act like Hannah. If you don't know verse 5, verse 6, that God shut your womb, that means that it was working until he shut it. And so, you don't know that? It's pretty tough whenever you're childless and you're sharing a husband with the woman that's not childless. And every year that goes by, you want children, never leaves. You don't settle. And here it is, God, all along. Because God knows what he's doing. You're coming in between a moment in time where there's judges giving way to prophets. The last judge of Israel is this man Eli, who's also a priest. And he's also confused. Because if you don't know which one you are, you're going to mess up a miracle. Because you don't handle somebody in the church as a judge like you do a priest. And so if you're going to handle somebody who's speaking radically as a judge, you're going to think she's drunk right off the bat. If you're a priest, you know the God she's reaching to. And so Eli's confused. And Hannah's going to help him out and reveal exactly what is going on here. It's time for the judges to stop. Get off that seat. You don't have a seat in the church unless you're judging. In this church, anyway. That's why he's got a seat. He's a judge and a priest. And God's in the middle of that saying, I'm getting ready to do something that requires me to make somebody desperate. Whenever you've got a world that is every man does what's right in their own eyes, you need somebody that knows I can't do anything without God. That's what God will do to a church. God will grab a hold of a church and make you start producing stuff in yourself that gets through these things called bitterness and gets through the unanswered prayers and gets you to that place where you recognize, you know what, after all this, I still come to God and I still worship and I'm still in his face and I'm still believing and I'm still hungry, but I do know that I need him. Yeah, we don't know about Peninnah's prayers because Peninnah's never have to pray. And Peninnahs that have children are never going to have any more. And there's people that have churches that are never going to grow further than they are now. But you know what? They tend to mock people that don't have much. But they don't know it's over for them. It's just beginning for Hannah. And if you don't understand the power of that, I feel barren when you're not barren. Because you are not barren, Sterling. You're not bearing, but you've got a God who's a God of timing. Crazy as he is, he's a God of timing. And he said, hey, I'm gonna do something that's going to require an entire group of people to step into a radical realm. Who feels like if you saw me last year, you wouldn't even recognize me today? You're not the same. You're not the same. How in the world could you say, hey, I'm the same person that stood here 3 years ago? No, you're not the same person. How could you be the same person? You got your miracle. Your prophecy came to pass. No, you couldn't be the same. I think a great, great thing starts right there when you start to recognize I'm not who I was. I'm not who I was. I'm not saying who I was bad, but who I was, they don't have a little prophet. Look at what this woman's getting ready to kick off, all because God's saying, I'm holding you back. I'm holding you back. I'm holding you back. He didn't hold Sarah back. Sarah said that herself. It's never said that God's the one shutting wombs of barren women that have amazing babies. He didn't shut Elizabeth's womb. She was just barren. Rebecca, you're just barren. God's not closing that off. This is the one time here God's saying, let's shut this thing. Let's shut this thing down because I want to reveal myself as the Lord God of hosts. Yeah, you don't read about him in the first five books of the Bible, do you? Nor do you read about him in Joshua, or do you read him about him in Judges. But the God that Hannah goes to pray for is a God that gets mightier and mightier the longer she doesn't have a miracle. That'll do something for somebody's faith when they recognize, no, always magnifies my God if I'm Hannah. Yeah, how in the world would an adversary think that would happen? That the more she gets a no, the bigger her God gets. What if you got to shut it down to get it mighty and powerful? What if you got to do that? What if you're the only church on the planet God's had to hold back? Oh, yes, hallelujah. What if you are the only church in Alaska that God's had to hold back because nobody's ready for what's getting ready to happen? Nobody's ready for what's getting ready to take place. There's so much inside of this church. You're not barren. God's saying it just wasn't time. It just wasn't time. But don't you think you're the same church that was here a year ago or 2 years ago? No, you're not. You're not the same people. You're not the same man. You're not the same woman. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm not the same person that flew into Alaska. Not after the couple days with a bunch of men. There's too many of them that touch me. I believe if you just touch me, I'm getting something from you. I'm sucking the life out of you if you touch me. You probably get something from me, but I'm getting something from you. I guarantee you that. I'm not the same person, Greg French, you touched. No, sir. What's this woman kicking off? I'm the same woman. Yeah. Yeah, you are. Right. What did Jesus say about his house? Yeah. Show me one time before Hannah where somebody thought this was a house of prayer. One time. Where does it say this is a house of prayer? You don't come to the tabernacle to pray. You come to bring offerings. You've got ritual. The high priest doesn't even say a word when he gets behind the veil. Because the blood does the talking. There's no praying here. Incense ascends. Like prayer, it's not prayer. It's like prayer. But this is a woman that showed up here and said, I just don't see this place like everyone else sees it. Can you imagine that? I see church a little bit differently. This is a place to go after God without sacrificing, but giving him my heart. This is a place where one person can access God out of hunger. my house will be called a house of prayer. Where'd you get that idea? I'd say it's about that time that desperate woman came in here. I don't know. There's no time ever in Scripture where they prayed at the house of God until right here. You read 1 Samuel chapter 2 for one of the most powerful repeated prayers in all of Scripture. This is a place of offering. No. It's becoming a house of prayer. How does God do that? He shuts everything down. Yeah. I don't see this. You just, that prayer she prays, you don't hear anything. Read chapter 2, 1 through 10 and tell me that's not a prayer. That's a prayer after she gives her son away. That's not the heart broken from a woman who believes it's over for her. This isn't the same woman who couldn't even have a voice. Because this place has already been transformed. We're making a shift here. We're moving here. You think God started to be done with Shiloh at the war with the Philistines? Jeremiah said, God said, I'm done with Shiloh. It will be destroyed. You don't even hear about Shiloh after after this moment here with Eli and his sons and their sin and Samuel. God's done with Shiloh. When does God start moving on? I'd say about the time this woman made a transition in the spirit. Why are you praying about a king that doesn't exist? Because I came to bring the kingdom. How do you bring the kingdom down to earth, God? I start with a woman I have to hold back. Praise God. I got to start with the woman I've got to hold back. You can't lose an unbelievable miracle ministry that will reach a world unless everybody believes that it's going to be through me. And everybody believes it's going to be through my brother. And everybody believes it's going to be through a people. There's not one, two, or three. No, God is looking for a people. Why do you think he would shut down a church? So we know it's him. So we know it's him. We start right there, but we also know it's on you. We also know that God can do it through anybody. And nothing is what it seems like. Nothing is what it appears to be. And when it seems like God's over, the Bible said he's just starting with the dunghill. That's what Hannah said. God raises up from the dunghill. God fills those that are hungry. But if you're full, he's going to get rid of you. If you're satisfied, he's done with you. That's what Hannah said. He raises up, sets up, he knocks down the prideful. That's what she's learned along the way, that it's not me. That I can't do it by myself either. She could not possibly be the same woman. You kick something off here that's got a momentum to it. You've got to see Samuel as this woman's answer to prayer, which is what she said he was. Then you've got to notice that this answer grows. It's not over once I get my answer with Hannah. It grows. Her answer grows. And what she says to Eli is so off. I'm the same woman. That's impossible if for the last 3 years, all you've been doing is nursing your miracle. Yeah. That's just what you've been nourishing. You've learned there's some stuff that needs to be neutered. And only miracles need to be nourished. And what you need to cut off is anything Penina's saying. Penina disappears from the picture. After Hannah goes home and nourishes a miracle for 3 years. Her answer is just getting bigger. It's just getting bigger. It's just getting bigger. She tells her husband, I'm not going back to church until it's big enough. to bless the church. I thought it was a blessing for me, but it's going to be a blessing for the church. And little did she know it was going to be a blessing for the nation. Can you imagine if one answer, after a lifetime of no's, if it's nourished properly, it'll take you to places you could never imagine. One answer. One answer. Isn't it tough to nourish one answered prayer and to never let that thing get anything but bigger? Because we know that no matter what we're asking of God, the answer we get, we don't see how big it is, even if we can't see it. We don't know what it's got in it. Do you know that one answer here has got kings inside of him? He's got two books of the Bible with his name on it. You don't let that kind of thing starve to death. Just because Penina's got more children, you just got one little baby. What you're doing is you're nourishing your miracle. You're nourishing your answer. What answer do you have? I don't care what it is or how small it is, but I guarantee you got at least one. And I bet you've been nourishing all the no's and looking at what everybody else has and comparing it to your little miracle. And it's time for you to close yourself off from what everybody else is getting and receiving and just say, this is mine right here, and I'm going to spend the next few moments in my life growing it bigger. I'm keeping this thing alive because that's why I'm alive. I was born for this moment right here. I don't know what it is. One answered prayer. You wouldn't even believe where that could take you if you don't let it die. If you don't let it stay small, grow it. You grow it. You're not the same woman. How could you be the same woman if all you've been doing is looking at a growing miracle for 3 years? You're the same woman. You know how impossible that is in this world? To start with small things and just to keep on believing and keeping it alive and watching one thing get bigger. So slow, such a process. But when that thing gets full grown, you better watch out. But right now, I see just one little thing. I prayed for one person and they were healed. Oh my goodness, that's enough for you to go home and say, I'm going to make this thing start growing. What's your miracle that you were asking God to do? And you've got one thing about it that you can grab a hold of. And say, you know what I'm so good at? Listening to negative reports. And I'm so good at listening to everything else that's going on except for what God said to me. And so how about I just start nourishing what I've got right now and see where God's going to take it. You know what you call that? You call that praising God. You call that giving God glory. You call that going, Lord God, I think a miracle's a big thing. I think a miracle's something to be held close. I need to sleep with my miracle close to me. Somebody in this room, you think you're the same person? Yeah, you're the same church. Yeah, you're the same church. One person, Rick Abbott, one person, for example, Rick Abbott figures out, like, let's go to Mexico for this deal. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to work or not, but let's just give it a shot. One person. I think I heard from God. I think God can guide you with wisdom like that. And lead you. One person going crazy in New Mexico. What is it now? What is it now? One person. What kind of an audience does Rick Abbott have now? You know what that is? It's growing. And you know what it looks like a whole lot of times? It looks a lot natural. Have you taken up an altar call yet in one of those meetings? No. Because it's growing. It's growing. And you let this miracle get big enough, my friend, there's nothing that can stop him. He can make heaven thunder when he speaks. He can say, okay, I'll prove it. Let it rain right now. This is a man, my friend, that's got some serious authority and dominion, but he's 3 years old. Think about that. How little is it? How big is it going to get? What if you just start believing in this one thing here? I don't know what you're feeling from God as far as your future. I don't know what kind of answers you've had from God as far as what you've been praying for His kingdom. Whatever kingdom answers you've had from God, you better not let the miracle of that and the answer die. We're so quick to jump over what He did for us. What He did for us, He's never done for anybody else on the planet. You can't jump over a miracle. No, sir, you can't jump over what God does in somebody's body when they're healed. You can't jump over a moment of impartation. You can't jump over when you've been depressed for years and one day you wake up and you're like, the sun's shining. I don't even know why I'm happy. You can't understand the glory and the power and the dominion and the honor that it is to receive one thing from God. And you also don't know the potential one thing has if you grow it. You're not the same. Say, oh, I'm only 3 years into my ministry, or I'm only whatever it is in you. You have no clue what you've got on your hands. You're not the same. Oh, I'm the same woman. No, you're not. You're a woman that transitioned the kingdom. Whenever he looks at her sitting on his seat, he looks at her and he notices her mouth is moving. No sounds are coming out because he's not praying to her. And as her heart is reaching up to God, he rebukes her, thinks she's a drunk woman. And Hannah speaks back to the priest. This is the first time we're hearing her voice in church. And she opens up her mouth and she says, don't judge me. Don't judge me. I didn't come here for that, Eli. The judge doesn't belong in church. There's one judge. The judge doesn't belong in church. He belongs at the gates. The judge doesn't belong in church. And this close to my miracle, the last thing I need is a ministry to judge me out of it. And so she says, don't judge me. And the next thing Eli says is, the Lord bless you. That sounds like a ministry. But it's not the ministry he's had. That's a prophetic utterance. He's never been a prophet. You don't give birth to a prophet unless you're speaking the seed of a prophet. And this is the moment that a judge priest becomes a prophet for a sentence. And he speaks a word to her. That's how you get a prophet. You prophesy. That's how you get a prophet. You prophesy. Hey, we've had an Aaron and we've had a Miriam. But you know what? There's something about this Moses. When they notice he was a goodly... There's something different about our baby right here. When they notice he was a goodly child, God probably whispered down in their ears, don't name him. Don't name him. Don't name him. I need an Egyptian to name him. I drew him out of the water. So let's call his name Moses. I drew him out of the water. Let's call his name Moses. That would be the day that Egypt began to prophesy God's plan into place. What's Moses do but deliver Israel? How? In the water. And the Egyptian entire kingdom of Egypt is killed in that very same water. Don't you name him when you're a prisoner. I need somebody from the government of Egypt to name him. And they're going to be speaking their own destination. At least that's how I believe it. That's why he's a goodly child, and we're just going to make sure we do something extra special with him, and they see there's something. That's what you're doing here, Eli. You're speaking something that you've never spoken before, and you don't even know why you can speak on that level, except for there's something being drawn out of you because of what God's up to. And it has nothing at all to do with your spirituality. It has everything to do with what that woman's been praying. And God's saying, I'm not going to hold her back now. And look how bad she is. Praise God. There's some people you got to hold back because that's what they do. They set it off. I don't need an old blind carnal prophet. I don't need Eli to be speaking just yet. You see what I'm saying? She's getting ready to set something off in this world. I got to kill his kids first. I got to get them to the point where it's over. So let's just hold her back because it's all connected. That's why God holds people back for the right moment, because there's no such thing as an individual miracle. And because of what you're desperate for, you need somebody else to be a prophet for a verse. And you're going to pull a prophecy out of a carnal judging priest. And that will forever change you and his relationship. You're not the same woman, Hannah, that stood before him. He's now a prophet. To you. You want to know how I know that? 1 Samuel chapter number 2. And every year they came up to the church. I got verse number 20. Eli blessed Elkanah and his wife every year and said, the Lord give thee seed of this woman for the loan which is lent to the Lord. And they went unto their own home. Every year. Eli would speak a word into their life, prophetic. Give seed of this woman. Who knows how much longer it took. Because God did not open up Hannah's womb. He opened up her mouth. And there's a massive difference. Because once my womb is opened, I no longer need God to do a miracle. But if all God did was open up my mouth, I need to speak it, and I need somebody else to speak it. For me to be it, I've got to have a visitation. And the Lord visited Hannah. And the Lord visited Hannah with 5 children. How many years does he speak that before they have their first one? Can you live off of 1 prophecy a year? If you're somebody like Hannah, who your first prayer after releasing your Samuel is, God, open my mouth wide. Tell me that's not the greatest miracle you could ever get. God opened up my mouth wide. And I now know how to speak. Because that's how the kingdom of God comes down into this earth. Not through a literal, unbarren miracle open womb. But through somebody who knows how to call heaven down into earth. Because that's the kingdom of God. And that's the only way it comes here into earth. Somebody has to say, let thy kingdom come in earth as it is in heaven. And you better know, as it is in heaven isn't like what we've been seeing. I don't think what I've been seeing in my church is a mirror of what looks like right over me in heaven. I think it looks a whole lot more victorious, loosed, healed, hold, and godly. I think it's a whole lot more supernatural and wild. I think there's beasts up there around that throne. I think that there's crazy creatures that look like eagles, and they look like men, and they look like animals. That's what heaven looks like when it comes down to earth. It don't come through a womb, and it don't come through your ability, and it doesn't come through a human action. It comes when God says, what I did for you, Hannah, is I opened up your mouth. I opened up your mouth, and there's a prophetic something that came out. out of you that sparked something in Eli. And now every time you see him, he's not your priest. You met your priest when you came and sacrificed. He's not blessing anybody else but you. Let there be seed. Let there be seed, and you keep coming back one word a year. That's all God's got to give somebody when they really know God. When they really got it. When they know how to nurse one miracle into a prophet. You just give them one word. That's all they need. And I don't care if it's the same word. Even with no evidence. They just grab a hold of that again. And say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because they've learned something. You're not the same. Bible said that Hannah vowed to give her child to God. He'll never have a razor touch his head. All the days of his life, he's going to serve you. And whenever Hannah said, I'm going to nurse this thing into a miracle that's growing and weaned. Elkanah said, all right, you do what you want. But let the word of God be established. And what he means is, it's not done until you do your part. See, prophetic words don't just come to pass. It's not even done when he's full grown. It's not done when he's weaned and he can feed himself, even though you got it. It's not done until you do what he asked you to do or what you promised. That's spiritual momentum right there. Because when I don't have something for a while, I tend to say, God, I'll dedicate a whole bunch of stuff. When I was preaching where Jeff went to college in La Grande, Oregon, I met a man who told me that there was a guy that was sick in their church, had some, I can't even remember what was wrong, but it was a big, big physical miracle. And he told God that night, he said, God, if you heal him, I will go on a 40-day fast. And so I said, you know, not to pry, but did you? And he said, I didn't eat a bite of food from that night till 40 days was up. And he said, you know what? He still, whatever miracle, I can't remember what it was, but he still whole. You know what I think? I think if God answers a prayer like that, there's a chance you won't be whole if the guy doesn't fast 40 days. Because prophetic words aren't established often in our lives unless we're doing what we're saying to God. I'm going to do. It's not done yet just because you got it. That's how spiritual momentum is built up. I get a miracle. I take a step into it. Dedication. I get another miracle. I go another level of sanctification. I get a miracle. I go deeper in God. But at no point in time do I not do my part, because it's not done until I do. I 100% believe that if God's going to heal our land, somebody's got to touch sick people. I 100% believe that if God is going to heal our land, there's going to have to be somebody who lays their hand on every one of them. Because that's what he requires with that prophecy. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, they shall. And I guarantee you, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's not going to make you want to cheat on God. I'll tell you right now. That's going to make you say, Holy Ghost, thank you. I'm going after more of you. And it's going to produce something that begins to grow. But I got to do my part for it to be confirmed. It's not done. You had the baby, but it's not done, Hannah. Isn't that a powerful revelation for a husband to give his wife? Whatever you do, you establish. You establish. And so when she releases Samuel this moment, when she says, I'm the same woman. You got to be kidding me, Hannah. You could not be the same woman if you're establishing God's word in this earth by what you just gave away. And in the meantime, Hannah, every year makes a little coat for Samuel. You know what that is? That's coming to every year. She comes once a year and hears a prophecy about children. She comes expecting her first miracle to have grown. That's called growing in capacity to receive. That's what spiritual momentum is. And you come back the next year, but this time you're anticipating this level of growth is going to be a jump up since he's going from 7 to 8. I better make a bigger garment than I made last year. You're anticipating and not just expecting. You're anticipating growth. After a little while, it just starts to multiply. Start small, but you know when you come to church and you equate it with expectation, that's a good thing. You see this thing growing. You're the same woman? No. I wouldn't think you're the same woman. She dedicates him, right? The spiritual momentum I'm talking about, she dedicates him. In 2 Chronicles chapter number 26, I won't take time to turn there, but whenever David has gathered everything up for the church, and he's turning it over to people, treasurers, to take care of it. Moses' kids. That's good hands to put it in. Moses' kids are the treasures of the dedicated things of the house of God and the spoils of war. And he names a couple of people. And he starts right off the bat with the first person who dedicates stuff to God's house. Samuel the seer. We don't know what the seer dedicates. But the next person who's listed is Saul. We know what Samuel did to him. Samuel anointed him king, spoken to his life and pulled him forward. I guarantee you, my friend, when you're dedicating one little child to God, like Samuel, you had no idea it was going to go this far. You're telling me that we can see the size of what God's doing through one kid. One answer to God's prayer. And then you start to recognize the power of this place being a house of prayer is that it wasn't my prayer ever. The only prayer that was going to be answered was that kingdom prayer that God wanted me to pray because God needed Samuel to come down here on the earth. And if you're going to give him a name, asked of God, who's doing the asking? God or Hannah? Asked of God, as in did God ask, or did Hannah ask? I would say that Hannah asked because God was asking. And that's how you get something like Samuel. You get in alignment with God's purpose for this moment, right now, through me. And it's a big thing for us to recognize. There's going to be a whole bunch of stuff God says no to because that is not you. It's not God's will for everybody in this church to have the exact same ministry. Nobody will have it all. And you probably won't have exactly the thing that you want. But when you start to get past what you want and start to hear what God's been asking for and you start asking for what God wants you to ask for, then all of a sudden you recognize, I didn't need to be a prophet. I was given birth to one. I didn't need to be a prophet. I had somebody in the church already. God needed somebody with the gift of helps. How many know we need people in the church with the gift of helps? How many of you think that that requires God to help you? To help. We've got us whatever that is, cobbler downstairs. Did you pray for God to give you strength to make that cobbler?